This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We'll start with today's big news about the uncertain future of casino gambling in Massachusetts, which is now a little more uncertain. The state's highest court has ruled that a question seeking to repeal the state's gambling law can and should be put to voters in November.
Anti-casino advocates such as John Ribeiro of the group Repeal the Casino Deal celebrated the ruling.
We are very happy with the court's decision. We expected that we would be on the ballot, and we're pleased to see that the court sided with common sense and logic.
The Supreme Judicial Court's decision is a defeat, however, for Attorney General Martha Coakley, whose office refused to certify the voter initiative last fall. It also throws significant uncertainty onto potential host cities who want jobs and tax receipts from casino gambling, and the estimated $1.7 billion in revenue that casino operators hope to reap from Massachusetts gaming.
Now it will be up to voters and to an expensive statewide campaign that's about to gear up on both sides of the issue. Here's Eric Schipper, Senior Vice President of Penn National Gaming, the group that holds the state's sole slot parlor license.
We're confident that we'll be successful come Election Day in protecting these jobs and preserving economic development in Massachusetts.
Joining us now with more is Mark Arsenal. He's on the casino's beat for the Boston Globe. Mark, welcome back to Radio Boston.
A pleasure to be here.
So first of all, tell us a little bit more about this SJC ruling. Basically, what did they say, and was the forcefulness of the decision a surprise?
The forcefulness, it was very forceful. What they said was the Attorney General's opinion that the repeal was unconstitutional because it would amount to a taking without compensation of the contract rights of the casino applicants, that was simply just not true, and that the state retains the power to change the law on a core policing power such as this anytime it wishes.
Right. And I was reading the decision a little earlier today written by Justice Ralph Gantz. And I mean, he basically came out and said that the Attorney General's office's initial decision to not certify the initiative kind of defies common sense.
It did kind of split hairs a bit. The argument, which actually was suggested to the AG's office by the casino industry when this was under review last year, the argument that the casino companies were entitled to at least a decision, if not necessarily a license. And logically or logistically, doesn't make much difference. If you have a decision but can't run a casino, what difference does it make?
Right.
So the court decided not to split that hair.
All right. Well, this morning, Attorney General Martha Coakley did hold a press conference where she seemed to try to make the best of what was essentially a unanimous ruling by all the justices against her office. And here she is.
This passionate discussion about where and how Massachusetts should move forward, if at all, will continue, obviously, in Massachusetts. I think it's healthy for voters in Massachusetts.
And, Mark, I should point out that you probably know this because you heard the whole thing, but after this statement by Martha Coakley, she took a question from a reporter who said, basically, how can you be happy about this? The justices all ruled against you. And she said that from the time her office had put forth the decision to block the initiative last fall, that they knew it was going to appear before the SJC, and that come November, when this thing is on the ballot now, she'd probably vote against casinos. So she's running for governor. I mean, how is she trying to balance what's a defeat for her office in the face of the ongoing uncertainty with casinos?
I think it seems like they're just figuring that you take a beating for one day and then people move on, because the bigger issue is this is going to be a huge, expensive referendum campaign that actually, I would think, for the gubernatorial candidates, risks sucking some of the oxygen out of the state's political attention for the next few months. It's going to be a very big deal. A lot of money will be spent on TV, most of it probably by the casino companies defending the casino law.
Right. Now, remind us how we've seen public opinion evolve or change on this matter, because it seems as if there has been a trend over time towards maybe increasing skepticism, not a majority in any way, shape, or form, but increasing skepticism amongst Massachusetts voters for casino gambling.
Well, yes. When the law was passed, remember, it was heavily debated in 2010. At that time, unemployment in Massachusetts was 8% or above for almost the whole year. When it was passed in 2011, unemployment in Massachusetts was 7% or higher for the entire year. Now it's 5.6%, and there's a lot of construction cranes turning over Boston, and it seems sort of that urgency to generate that economic activity may not be as strong as it used to be. I think that's one sense. back when this was first being pulled, casinos generally pulled well in the 60s. The idea of bringing casinos here is 60% or better supported that. The Globe poll that came out on June 13th, our first poll on this issue, very specifically asked, do people support repeal? Mm. That number was, in our poll, was 52%, which, you know, it seems like a majority, but that's not a very healthy number for the industry, and it shows that the campaign would matter, and they're certainly looking at 52% support to begin the campaign. They're not popping any champagne corks yet.
Right, and as you said, a lot of money and a lot of effort now are going to go to directly appeal to Massachusetts voters on both sides of this issue, because they're going to have a question about casino gambling on the ballot in November now. Mark Arsenal, reporter for the Boston Globe, who's been following the casino story for quite some time. Thanks so much for joining us, Mark.
You're welcome. Anytime.